chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm excited to have Laura Dierberg-Pedusis on the show today. Laura is Executive Vice President at Dierberg's Markets. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. Well, Laura, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the Something Extra podcast. I am very excited about our conversation today.
Happy to be here and really looking forward to the conversation.
Well, we're going to have fun. I know that. But I told you, there's so much I want to talk about. And if you are from St. Louis, you know about Dierberg's. And I told you, we lived in Chesterfield for 22 years, and I love Dierberg's. And now we're in Defiance, and Laura, we are doing backflips. Our whole family's doing backflips because you guys are opening a beautiful store on Highway N that's going to be about 8 minutes from our house. So we cannot wait for that store to open this fall.
And we are very excited to sell you groceries there. It's our first store in 8 years. And so we're really excited to bring another new offering to a new community.
Well, and this community out here is going gangbusters. Greg and I hear of friends and people all the time that are buying property out here. And so I think it's going to be a really good store for you guys. I really do.
We're looking forward to it.
You know, first of all, before we talk about you, I would love for you to tell our listeners, if they don't know, a little bit about the history of Dierberg's, because Dierberg's goes way back. I mean, William Dierberg, which I guess was your great grandfather, did not purchase the store until 1914, but it goes way back to 1854.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. So we are actually celebrating our 167th anniversary. Not many businesses can say they're celebrating 167 years in business. And really in 1854, Dierberg's got its start as a mercantile. The business was actually not purchased until 1914, and it remained a mercantile till about 1929, when it started to convert into a more of a traditional grocery store. And traditional back then was still completely untraditional to what we see today in grocery stores. From what I understand from my dad and hearing my dad's storytelling, you were not buying your meat and your produce there because those are the things you had on your farm. But there were other things that you needed at the grocery store back then.
Right.
A completely fascinating evolution of how we have evolved over time with what you find and what you need in a grocery store. It definitely has changed, and it's exciting to see that.
I just love it. I told you, it's just such a strong legacy and strong tradition. And you're now fourth generation, which is, you just don't hear of that. But, you know, so then William bought it in 1914, and then he turned it over to sons Bill and Fred, right, in 1929. And then your dad entered, was it 1961, something like that, right out of college, I think your dad entered into the grocery store. Then his cousin Roger came in after that. But, you know, your dad opened up the Four Seasons store in 1967. And I told you, even at that time, the look and feel of the store was a little bit different than what you is more wide open spaces. And, you know, you guys even won an award for that store.
Well, it was very progressive at the time with refrigerated cases and just more of a modern grocery store shopping experience on that journey to what we see today. You know, you mentioned that my dad really started in the 1960s. He started well before that. He was born in 1939. And by the time he was maybe 8, 9, 10 years old, he was already working in the store.
Yes.
It was the 1939 store at the time. And it was this very small rendition of what we have today. But one of his favorite stories, he would stock things for a penny a case. And so you can only imagine how little that added up to. But for him, it was a big deal. And he was just a little kid at the time. And those examples of his experience working in the stores in the early days and how that impacted him, those stories are things that I think, even though at the time when I heard them, I didn't know it was sticking with me, but they've stuck with me to this day. And both he and my mother really have shared with us the value of hard work over time and how meaningful that can be, not only to the impact that you're having in the environment, but also the value that brings to you yourself in feeling what you're contributing and seeing that impact on others.
It was kind of like the whole family was involved. It wasn't like your dad's dad was going to work and leaving the kids out of it. Really bringing the whole family in, I don't know. Then you've got buy-in at a very early age. I think that's really important. But here comes along Laura. You got you and your two brothers, and here you come along, you go off to Vanderbilt. But even then, your dad involved you, right? You said you started working when you were 12. Filling the water tubes, I think.
Yeah, I don't know what in the world possessed us to want to go work in the stores early. Now, I was the baby, so I watched two brothers doing something productive, and I'm like, well, I want to do something. So at 12 years old, I started in one of our floral departments, and these poor people were like, what do I do with a 12-year-old? And they just had me fill little water tubes, and I thought this was really a lot of fun, and I'm sure they dumped them all out after I left. It was my first experience with feeling like I was adding value, and I enjoyed it quite a bit, even at the end of the day, if they didn't think I did. And so every summer, I would try and take on something in the stores and followed by produce, eventually working in our video centers and then cashiering. But what I didn't realize at the time is those little nuggets of learning were all contributing to something that eventually that I would harness and take into kind of what I do today. And that value of being with our store associates and learning from them is something I will never forget. Honestly, it's been critical to me understanding how to help run our company today.
Oh, for sure. Well, let's talk about that. So you went to Vanderbilt, but you did not go right into the company when you graduated. You actually went to Fleshman Hilliard, right?
Yeah. So we have a family rule that you work for somewhere for at least a year. So I went to go work for Fleshman Hilliard just as an intern. So it wasn't a long-term engagement, but it was something that gave me an experience outside of what I guess I would call my comfort zone, working at Deerberg's. And working with family is a whole nother ballgame. And so it was good to have that outside experience.
Mm-hmm. And then you said your brother Greg actually, I think, went and worked for your supplier, Super Value in Minneapolis, right? So I think that that's a really good rule to have the kids, if they're thinking about coming into the business, let them go work for somebody else for a while and see how that is. And you just already had so much knowledge of how everything worked and just learning from the associates. But then you did come in, and I love this, Laura. You were in a rotation program.
Uh-huh.
I love that. So when I started, I graduated from college and went right to McDonnell Douglas.
Okay.
And I was in a 3-year rotation program at Mac. So I rotated through every component, every piece of accounting, you know, cost accounting, internal audit. I mean, at the end of that 3 years, I had such a great sense of the company as a whole. So I think it's a great thing. So you rotated for a year.
For at least a year, it was probably more than that. But what it really was an exceptional opportunity to gain in-depth learning and knowledge from people who really do it best and know it best in our stores. I think that you have, or we see iterations in our business of people who are kind of ruling from the ivory tower. And we recognize that the best value and the best way for us to help run the company is to harness the knowledge of our store people. And so for them to be teaching me what they've learned over the years was an incredible opportunity. my high school years was a formative, like I'm just getting my feet wet, really trying to understand it. And it was that initial learning experience. And then after college, well, after my first job experience, and then after college, I felt like that was really the opportunity to sink my teeth into understanding exactly how things work. And it still benefits me today because I feel like I have those relationships now. I mean, some people have moved on and retired, but we have an amazing number of people who have been with us for 30, 40 years, and we continue to benefit from their experience and the knowledge they bring to us when we're approaching new decision making.
And one of the things I know for you guys is culture is really important. And you guys really do empower the people that are on the floor, because you and I have talked about this. I know your dad was really into the merchandising and the way the store looked and the displays. And then your brother, Greg, you said kind of inherited that. But there is a different feel when you walk into Dierbergs because it's beautiful. I mean, the way everything is designed. But, you know, you guys even say that you let them have some autonomy. You empower them to come up with designs and stuff.
They do.
Which I think is so good.
And so while my brother loves merchandising and he's going to lead that effort, sometimes it's the effort from the store level crews who bring that ingenuity to the table. And then we're sharing that as a best practice really with the rest of the stores. So ideas come from all different angles. The best ideas, you never know where they're going to come from. And so we love that about our teams.
Yeah. And I think it's so important to listen to those ideas. And it's not like every idea is going to be a home run idea, but you guys are big on experimentation. Let's pilot it. Let's try it and see how it works, right? And I think I'd even read that even on a vacation, your dad and mom had visited a grocery store in Minneapolis. And your dad came back so excited. He's like, you'll never believe what I saw.
My formative years, we skipped to me working in the stores, but literally every family vacation was a trip to go see another grocery store. I mean, we may have been at a beach or somewhere fun in between.
Right.
For my dad, it was really about like, we got to go see some grocery stores. And to this day, I still remember being horrified by how many times we got kicked out of grocery stores for him taking pictures. But really, that's another example of us learning from others and adopting those best practices and bringing that ingenuity to Dierbergs, and what continuously makes us in our minds better that we are trying those new things and making sure we're not missing opportunities to be better every day.
Yes, I love everything you just said. And so for our listeners that are listening, don't be afraid of change. We've got to continue to evolve. We've got to continue to look for ways of being better, right? And so that's clearly what your family has demonstrated, Laura. And I love that. So let's talk about mom and dad a little bit. They've been married for a long time, haven't they?
And they celebrated 50 years of marriage a few years ago now. So yes, they set a great example. And I think that more importantly, growing up, lots of sayings, a penny saved is a penny earned and money doesn't grow on trees and the early bird gets the worm. I mean, you name it. They were full of expressions that set the tone for us as kids to what they were expecting from us in terms of providing value later on in our lives. And truly, we benefit from that today as well, and understanding how important it is for us to cooperate and really leading the business together. Because if we don't set the right tone in terms of us working together and teaming, then really the whole thing kind of falls apart. So
you have to set the example at the top, right?
Absolutely. So my parents have done a beautiful job of setting that example for us.
Yeah, Laura, and I don't know the stats on this, but you and I talked about this a little bit. With you being fourth generation, it is so unusual for multi-generational. Sometimes it just falls apart just because of what you just said. You know, there's infighting. And you know what? I'm sure you guys, to the outside world, to me, you look like a perfect family, but I am sure you guys are not perfect. I'm sure you've had some differences of opinion and things like that. But how have you handled that?
So with my dad still being involved, and he might want to shoot me for telling everyone on the podcast that he's 81 now, but he's still extremely involved in the business, and he adds tremendous value. And so with him being still involved, he's constantly setting that tone for what that healthy working relationship looks like. And so between the three of us, my brother Greg, my dad and I, when we have things that we disagree on, honestly, we get in a room and we talk about it. And the great news is no one holds a grudge, which is really critical. But I think that the reason why that happens is I think we honestly all have each other's best interests at heart, and we want to see a positive resolution. I mean, just yesterday, my brother called me on something, and I knew he was passionate about it, and I'm not going to lose sleep over it. So I said, Greg, if that's the direction you feel most comfortable in, that's not a hill to die on for me. And I know that he has done that same thing for me as well. And I just think in a family business, you kind of have to pick your battles at times and make sure that you're pursuing the things that you're passionate about and not getting stuck on every single little thing. And it's probably no different than the working world in general. But when you have family and the intensity of family applied to it, it does take it to a whole nother level. And it's just critical that we're setting a positive example for our teams, that not only can we work out problems, but we set that example for the really the whole environment.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. I could talk on this for hours, I think, Laura, but we do need to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with Laura Pedouzis.
We at Technology Partners understand the difficulty to find work that is engaging, yields high pay, and facilitates a work-life balance. Over the past 25 years, we have enhanced the IT teams of over 244 client companies and placed more than 3,000 IT professionals with them on short-term or permanent basis. Our staff includes over 300 experienced IT professionals. So if you're looking to take the next step in your career, visit jobs.technologypartners.net, apply for a job, and one of our expert recruiters will be happy to connect with you.
So Laura, we've already talked so much. There's so much uniqueness about Deerbergs, and we've already talked about the merchandising and how you guys do your displays, the culture itself. You know, you guys, I think, were one of the first in the country to have your own in-house bank. So it's a very unique culture, but that culture never happens just by accident. There's a lot of intentionality that has to go into it. So I'd love for you to tell our listeners a little bit about that.
So fortunately, I feel like our culture got its start just in the roots of being a family business and being small enough that we can make that direct impact with associates. We know their names, we know about their families. As we continued to grow, though, and we're still only a 25-store chain in the Midwest, but at the same time, we recognize there's an opportunity to create a little more intentionality about what kind of culture we're really trying to build. It was probably maybe 5 years ago now that my brother and I kind of really thought about our mission as a company and what we were trying to achieve. And we both joke that there was a mission statement created at some point that actually Greg and I were not involved in. It had something about clean stores and lots of variety and great shopping experience. And honestly, I couldn't tell you what it was. Both Greg and I are looking at each other going like, we can't even say what our own mission is. And that's highly problematic. So we decided to really reimagine who we want to be in the future from our purpose perspective. So we re-engineered the purpose. It's better people, better service, better Deerbergs. And then we tie it all together with the idea of growing every day. Basically, our kind of thinking around the whole thing is that if we are fostering better people through really paying attention to our character skills, you know, who are we and what are we trying to do for people? We're really serving people. And so what character skills are we bringing to the equation for our associates so they can not only grow personally, but professionally in our environment. And we want to see them thrive. And then that takes us to better service. So if we've got our foundation of our people right, that's critical. And then we move to better service and we talk about, okay, what are our processes? Are our customers having a great in-store experience? Are our associates having a great in-store experience in everything from training to execution of programs and other things we're bringing to the table? And so there's just an unbelievable number of things that fall into that realm of better service that gives us an opportunity to really re-examine those things and then hopefully then transform to become a more relevant business for our customers and for our teams. And so if we spend enough time on better people and better service, that eventually gets us to what we call then the result of better Deerbergs. It's spending time in those two foundational layers. But then we also recognize that success is a moving target. And if we sit there, okay, we've arrived, we're good, things will change way too quickly. And so we weave in this philosophy of growing every day. And that's what gets me excited about coming to work every day, that every day is a growth opportunity. I can already tell you, I learned two things yesterday that I'm like, dang, I wish I would have known those yesterday or the day before.
Yes.
It amazes me how much I still grow every single day because I'm always learning something from someone else.
You're speaking my language because I always say, you know what? I don't care. You never reach a summit. I mean, if you think you do, then I don't know, what's the point then of going on, you know, really, because it's just the growing, but you have to grow as a leader on the inside. You have to grow your people. Greg and I, when we founded Technology Partners, you know, we said, if we take care of our people, they will take care of our client, you know, and you got to be obsessed for the customer. And that's the common goal of everybody, right? But you do that by building into your people, care about your people, and then they'll take care of your clients. So our philosophies are very, very much aligned. So I have to ask you, because we're talking about growth, how do you continue to grow? What are the things that you do? Do you read? Do you listen to podcasts? Do you listen to webinars? How do you grow yourself?
Literally all of the above. I feel like I have a thirst for knowledge. I don't think I ever would have guessed at the stage of life that I'm at that I would be on such a constant learning cycle. But there's so much to absorb out there, and it comes from so many different channels. And so whether it is a podcast that I learned something new from someone I never expected, or it's really also from our internal teams and what they bring to the table. And I think that it all kind of boils down to listening and being curious. And so how do I make sure that I have an open mind to think about things differently and not be stuck in our ways? And how do I also then seek out ways to gain new perspective of really how we need to evolve as a business long-term? Because if I look at our business and how we serve customers 20 years ago, there's one thing I'm sure about is that it's going to be completely different 20 years in the future. Mm-hmm. And if we don't change and we don't evolve, our customers aren't coming with us.
That's right.
And so I think that that desire to continue to be our best version of Dierbergs really then makes me look in the mirror and say, okay, what else am I doing to grow personally and professionally as well? So then I can help make my team stronger. They can become stronger as well as a result of me being able to coach them more effectively, but it's really a continuous cycle.
Mm-hmm. You have what, Laura, probably about 4,500, 5,000 associates now?
About 4,000 associates, yes.
And I know I've read you serve close to 400,000 customers a week. And so you want to make sure you keep those customers, right? And, you know, so this year has been so hard for so many. I have to ask you, I mean, how has this affected the grocery business, the pandemic? How has it affected you as a person? What have you carried forward? I mean, I know there's a lot of things that, you know, I feel like I rumbled with as an individual, just what's really important this last year. But tell me a little bit about that, if you would.
Yeah, I think that when the pandemic first started to hit, I remember I was in one of our stores going to visit a retiree. When people retire, we go visit them personally if they've been with us for a certain period of time. And I remember walking into the store and going, oh my God, what is happening right now? At that moment, I pivoted to, I need to go get carts. And so I started bringing carts into the store because they had no carts in the store. And it was absolutely crazy. And so one of the first things I learned from COVID was, holy crud, we got to learn how to adapt quickly because everything was changing. I think that what I witnessed happening after that was just incredible resilience and flexibility in our teams. Everyone just pulled together. I literally am getting the chills as I say this because it was an incredible opportunity. I know COVID was awful and so many people lost lives and went through absolute struggles. But for Dierbergs, what I witnessed us coming together as a team throughout the entire company was invaluable. And I think that we all grew a lot during that time. But I think that part of the reason why is because we cared about our people. Keeping our people safe was the thing that was keeping me up at night because we had all this traffic coming into our stores. Masks were not being recommended in the beginning. And I'm like, how do we keep our people safe? Because at the end of the day, I don't want to see people getting sick and I don't want to see them dying, God forbid. And so that was really one of my primary struggles. But then also, how do we meet the needs of the business? The pivoting that happened was really incredible. And it took a lot of persistence on our part to get the products that our customers wanted. Eventually, we got our rhythm and everybody got plexiglass and we figured out how to be safe. But it was the drinking through a fire hose on steroids.
And I know that every one of our listeners will be feeling the same way. I applaud you guys because your people were there on the front line serving the community where we could get food and the supplies that we need. So kudos to you guys. Thank you so much for how quickly you guys pivoted and how you just served and you continue to serve. So let me ask you real quickly, how is technology really affecting the grocery business? And, you know, how do you see it affecting it in the future? I mean, what are you excited about?
So last year, what kept me up was COVID. This year, what keeps me up is technology and truly how technology is being integrated into everything a grocer does. And so we have been in the past a grocer who uses technology to probably improve how we order and very kind of structural and how we harness the technology and utilize it for our benefit. But what we're we're seeing now is that technology is very much customer facing. And what is that customer experience that absolutely weaves together the overall shopping experience and eventually drives their car to Dierbergs or instead picks Shipt for having their groceries delivered? And all of that is so integral and trying to make sure that we are creating the best omnichannel experience for our customers. Because one thing I've learned for sure, people want to shop how they want to shop, and it's different for everyone. And that's probably the most dynamic and difficult thing to face. But really, how are we making sure we are listening and learning to potentially best adapt for a 25-store chain? We're not Amazon and we're not Kroger, but at the same time, our customers expect us to deliver those same types of things. And actually, partnering with technology partners has been a huge benefit for us because it's helping us rebuild, retool, and reimagine some of the things that we've kind of been doing for a long time in delivering really that better service to our customers and to our associates so we can function together to make that better Dierbergs. So it's really coming full circle. But I also think about, okay, in 10 years, we could still end up getting left in the dust if we stop where we stop. And so it's really then what's next and what's that right next move that would be the best investment for our company and for our customers?
Yes, we say now, even like MasterCard, for instance, has been a client for a very long time. Bear has been a client. They call themselves, no, we're not credit card processing. We're not an ad company. We're a technology company. I mean, technology is really kind of taking a front seat. That's how we've seen technology change, you know, in the last 20 years. So it's a great time to be in technology, you know, because it certainly is so paramount. So Laura, I have to ask you, what do you believe is the something extra that every leader needs?
So I thought a lot about this. And I think it might seem hackneyed, but I have to say curiosity, because just to the point of where are we going to be in 10 years? There's so much to learn about how we can grow and differentiate ourselves over time. But the thing that I love the most about curiosity is that my dad has set an amazing example. It's always great to ask questions. Whomever you ask questions to, you can learn something. When I go into our stores, talk to a seafood manager, a deli manager, a cashier, and what I learn from them and am able to take back to the business to either create change or make an impact, that's an invaluable opportunity I would be missing if I wasn't being curious. So we try to really instill that in all of our teams. Let's ask questions. And I think that's that collaboration a little bit, that when you are seeking the opinions of others, not only do they feel more engaged, but you usually get to better solutions because you're not looking at things through an isolated window. Honestly, I don't think I would be where I am today without having curiosity as my friend or my partner in the process.
Oh, I love that. Asking questions, you know, the curiosity, I think that is so, so important. So I love that. So Laura, I want to give you the opportunity, whatever you want to talk about, you know, you've got our listeners. And so what would you like to engage them in? How can they get involved?
Well, I feel like Dierbergs, being a family business and being a Midwestern company, we bring a value to the table of that family environment. And I think that we're always trying to find great people to join our team and help us make a difference in serving our customers. I think that the people who do come to work for us and stay with us find that it is a very nurturing environment and that they feel honestly like they're a part of our family. And the funny thing is families don't always get along, you know, we sometimes don't communicate perfectly, but at the same time, it's a very warm environment and we certainly are growing. And so really inviting people to come try to experience Dierbergs and what we bring to the table, whether it's at the corporate level or store level. Our COO today started as a bagger in our stores. So you never know where that journey can take you, starting in the business at an entry level position and where you'll go. And we do a ton of promoting from within. And so there's tremendous value there.
So how would they go about finding out what jobs are open? They would go to your website, I'm assuming.
Go to our website, but we also have a texting capability. And I believe it's something along the texting team. I apparently need to talk to our HR people about that one. So website's always a good source.
Okay. Well, Laura, thank you so much for doing this. And can't wait for our listeners to hear your story.
Well, it was an awesome opportunity really to share kind of who we are and what we bring to the table. So thank you, Lisa, for that opportunity.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.